ओम ज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेशगोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते। तप्तकाञ्चनगौराङ्गी श्रीराधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्तवृंद। एंड एज द कर्टन्स क्लोज, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। Anyone remembers any of the pastimes that we discussed yesterday? Anything that you want to share that you remember from yesterday's discussion? It could be a point, it could be a story, it could be anything. Yesterday we were discussing about Raghunath Das Goswami's stay in Jagannath Puri. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami is one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. And what are the names of the six Goswamis in Vrindavan? Srila Rupa Goswami, yes. Srila Sanatan Goswami. What are the other four names? Raghunath Das Goswami, about whom we are speaking. Three names. Who are the other? Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, that's the fourth name. What are the other two names?
Did you say Sanatan already?
Yes. Who is the nephew of Rupa and Sanatan?
Jiva.
Srila Jiva Goswami. And finally, the Goswami from Tamil Nadu, Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So these are the six Goswamis. Therefore, when we sing all their names together, we sing Jaya Rupa Sanatan Bhatta Raghunath Shri Jiva Gopala Bhatta Dasa Raghunath. Yes, all the six names together.
So when you say Goswami, what does it mean?
What does it mean by the, what do we mean by the title Goswami? Yes. Any answers? What do
go
we mean by the?
Means
go means senses. Yes. And what does Swami mean? Swami means? Master. So Goswami means master of the senses. So how many of us are Goswami, the master of our senses? What's the other title?
Godas.
Godas. Godas means those living entities who are not conquering their senses, but are conquered by their senses. Yes? It is described, a Goswami is like a tortoise. Whenever they want, they can pull their senses out, get their services done for Krishna, and then pull it back in. Have you seen the tortoise? It just puts its arms in the limbs out, and then whenever it doesn't need, it just puts it in. So similarly, pure devotees or Goswamis, they use all their senses for Krishna, right? And then when they don't need it, something else is going on. When you can't serve Krishna, they pull it in. But for us, Godas, we push our senses outward when there is no Krishna. And as soon as there is Krishna, we pull it in. Whenever Krishna Katha is going on, we sleep. Our eyes also give up. Or our mind gives up by some engagement with the cell phone. As soon as there is kirtan or something going on, for like 1 hour, that's okay. But after that, the ears also shut down. As soon as Krishna's names are being chanted in japa, the mind is spinning, the tongue is rolling, but the ears are not attentive. The holy name is entering the ear holes, but no attention. So though that is the symptom of Godas. So basically, Goswami means a pure devotee who uses all his senses only for Krishna's service.
But then there will be more than six pure devotees, right?
Yes.
Why only we say this?
Yes. So any pure devotee who uses his senses in Krishna's service is a Goswami. But in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there are four main sampradayas. You have the Sri Sampradaya, starting from Lakshmi Devi. You have Rudra Sampradaya, starting from Lord Shiva. And then you have Kumara Sampradaya, starting from the Kumaras. And then you have Brahma Sampradaya, starting from Brahma. So in this line of Brahma Sampradaya, starting from Brahma, appeared Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or Gaura. Therefore, this line is also called as Gaudiya Sampradaya. The Sampradaya, Sampradaya means the line or the succession in which knowledge is descending. Yes? So therefore, in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and among the servants and disciples of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were the prominent six Goswamis from Vrindavan. So therefore, when we say six Goswamis of Vrindavan, it doesn't mean there are only six Goswamis in this world. It means among the servants and the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, especially in Vrindavan, these six prominent personalities were on the top. So therefore, when we say the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, it naturally refers to Srila Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, and Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Does that answer your question? Yes. Any more questions before we start? Anything else?
I have a question.
Yes, Prabhu.
What does the Vaishnava?
What does the word Vaishnava mean?
Yeah.
Okay. In fact, it's a long subject matter to discuss, but just in one line.
Worship or worship of Vishnu.
Devotees of Vishnu, those who worship Vishnu, are called Vaishnavas. Those who worship Krishna are called Karshneyas. And those who worship Krishna, mainly with Srimati Radharani, are called Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Gaudiya comes from the word Gauranga. And the mood of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu was not worshipping Krishna alone, but with Srimati Radharani. The worship of Vishnu always existed. Ramanujacharya came in and he gave the worship of Lakshmi and Narayan, the worship of Lakshmi and Narasimha. And the mood of worship was always that I am your servant and you are my master. Dasosmi. So this mood that we are always subservient and I am the servant of God and Vishnu or Lakshmi and Narayan are the supreme. This mood in opulence that you are God and therefore I bow down to you. This mood was existing, was prevalent in the teachings of Ramanujacharya. Then appeared Madhvacharya, who said even higher than Vishnu worship is the worship of Krishna. But the worship that he taught was the worship of baby Krishna, where you bathe the Lord out of love, where you feed the Lord out of love. You put the Lord to sleep out of love. You wake him up out of love. Where Krishna is not worshipped as God, but he is worshipped as a, he's loved as a baby. That was given by Madhvacharya. But in the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went even higher, where he taught how we could approach the Supreme Lord, not just out of opulent majesty, not just as a servant, not just as a friend, not just out of love as a parent, but you could worship Krishna even as a conjugal lover, like the gopis in Vrindavan, where they love Krishna completely. They have given themselves completely to Krishna. Yes? So this is the mood of Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So Vaishnava basically is a broad term. Any worshipper of Vishnu and who doesn't worship the demigods, and who worships Lakshmi and Narayan completely, is a Vaishnava. Of course, there are different types of Vaishnavas. Uttam Adhikari Vaishnav, Madhyam Adhikari Vaishnav, Kanishta Adhikari Vaishnav. Let's not get into it. We can take that in a separate discussion. Yes?
Gaudiya Math.
So the mutt or the place where the teachings of Gauranga is taught is Gaudiya Math, which was founded by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So in today's discussion, we'll be discussing the life of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. Can anyone share any one story from yesterday's discussion? Anything that you remember? Yes, Prabhu.
Raghunath Das, when before he was Goswami, he was given a lot of impediments in the way of his getting to Lord Surrender. So his parents got married, his parents had guards that kept him traveling to
Jagannathpuri.
Jagannathpuri, was it where he finally?
Mm-hmm.
So he always wanted to serve, and he tried his best, and he came from a very wealthy family with a lot of material opulence awaiting him on the other side, but all he wanted to do was to serve completely Lord Chaitanya. So he eventually made it by Chaitanya's blessings.
In fact, he was so surrendered to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that one time in Jagannath Puri, he was found eating prasadam or honoring prasadam which was old, stale and rotten. Initially, Raghunath Das Goswami used to have very palatable, sumptuous, delicious prasadam. But then he gave it up because he was thinking, I have traveled all the way. Have I come here to sit and eat like this? Have I come here to take service or give service? So he gave it up. And then he sat outside the temple and he used to beg. He used to beg. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Swarup Damodar, who was the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, said, why is Raghunath sitting there? So Swarup Damodar Goswami revealed his heart and he said, well, he wants to practice humility. And Mahaprabhu was very pleased. Then after a few days, he even got up from there. He was no longer found outside the Jagannath temple. So then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, why is he not found here? Why is he not sitting and begging outside the Jagannath temple? So Swarup Damodar Goswami revealed the heart of Raghunath Das Goswami. And he said, he feels like a prostitute. Because he's sitting there and he's thinking, what will this devotee give me? What will this devotee give me? What will this man give me? Will he give me something to eat? Will he give me something to eat? So Swarup Damodar Goswami told Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Raghunath Das Goswami wasn't very comfortable with this feeling. So now he eats wherever there are free prasadam booths, centers. So he just goes and has prasadam there. After a few days, his level of renunciation increased so much that he was no longer found even there. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Swarup Damodar Goswami, where is Raghunath? He used to have prasadam here, he gave it up. He used to beg outside the Jagannath temple at the Simhadwaram gate. He gave it up. Then he was eating at the free prasadam booth. He gave it up. Where is he now? And why is he doing this? So Swarup Damodar Goswami said, he is not comfortable eating even there. So now he has prasadam which is rotten and stale, which nobody has. Like the prasad of Jagannath, as soon as it comes out of the temple, it is distributed. And that prasadam, which is not taken and honored by anyone, is thrown to the cows and to other animals. And sometimes when it gets so old and rotten and stale, even the cows come close. They smell, some even taste and spit it out because it's not palatable, it's not tasty. And that food, Raghunath Das Goswami used to go, collect, take it home, wash the rice, add little salt and honor it. Because Raghunath Das Goswami was so renounced and so humble and devoted that he could see even that prasadam as the mercy of Jagannath. He saw the prasadam and he said, this taste is the taste of the lips of the Lord. Adharamrita. This is the nectar of the Lord's lips. When the Lord has tasted this, who am I to distinguish that this prasadam is fresh and this prasadam is rotten. So the scriptures actually say that prasadam is always fresh. And there are very few people who can put faith in prasad. It is a very special thing. It's not eating prasad, but it is honoring prasad. We don't take prasad, the food, and we don't think that, well, this is for me to enjoy. But the way a Vaishnava thinks, at least in the scriptures, is that you accept the remnants of the Lord as prasadam, and you think this is out of his kind mercy. In fact, there is a mention in the scriptures that as soon as one offers with love and devotion, Krishna eats it completely. But now, if the plates are empty, we will be shocked. We are cooking so much of prasadam and we have nothing to eat. So therefore, out of mercy, what Krishna does is, he eats everything and recreates it back into the plates the same way as it was offered. So when you see after prasadam, after your offering, you see all the sabji, all the dal, all the kheer is all the same way as you arranged. The scriptures say when it's offered with love and devotion, Krishna accepts it completely and refills it the same way as it was offered so that we partake. So, yes.
It actually doesn't refill it the same way as it was.
That's what the scriptures say, but sometimes if you're very elevated, he fills it in a way where he gives us a proof that he has had it.
But they say that the added ingredient that he applies to every prasad
is the taste of his lips.
Yes.
Adharamrita. Yes. So Krishna accepts the love of his devotees.
Before it is, go below the taste.
So therefore it is said, even to have faith in Mahaprasad, you should have some pious credit from the past lives. Therefore we say, Mahaprasade Govinde Nama Brahmani Vaishnave. These five things, to put your faith, you should have some pious credit from the last lives. What is the first thing? Mahaprasad. Having faith that these remnants were actually tasted by Krishna. Second, Govinde, in Krishna himself. Third, Naam, in Krishna's holy name. The faith that the name of Krishna, the sound vibration, is non-different from Krishna. This faith we must have. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Mahaprasade, Govinde, Nama, Brahmani and Vaishnavi. Fourth, having faith in the Brahmanas. And fifth, having faith in the devotees of the Lord. And dealing very nicely with them. Swalpa punya vatam rajan vishvasa naiva jayate. Those who have little pious credit from their past lives, they cannot have faith. And if somebody is having faith in these five things, that's an indication that they have a lot of pious spiritual credit from their past lives or punya or samskar. So Raghunath Das Goswami was so elevated that he used to wash all of these rotten, so-called rotten food, and he used to eat it. So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got to know about this, he became so ecstatic. His face became effulgent, and he told Swarup Damodar Goswami, I want to go and check this myself. So one day Raghunath Das Goswami was eating this food, and suddenly Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. So Raghunath Das Goswami, he knew that if he kept it in front of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu will have to eat. And this is not palatable for Mahaprabhu. So he immediately kept it behind his back. He hid it. Now in these days, there are many people who are practicing their renunciance. They are practicing this vairagya or renunciation. But sometimes just for name and fame. Just to show the world how renounced they are or how pure they are. So whatever they are practicing as renunciation, they put it in front of the public. But Raghunath Das Goswami was so sincere, he hid it behind. So Mahaprabhu said, what is the nectar that you're hiding behind your back? So Raghunath Das Goswami said, oh well, nothing. It's nothing. So Mahaprabhu, with his long arms, he put his hand into the palms of Raghunath Das Goswami, grabbed that prasadam, ate that prasadam, and he said, I have tasted the prasadam of Lord Jagannath for years, but I've never tasted something as delicious as this. Because that was filled with even the faith and the love of Raghunath Das Goswami. So this is the point. All the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were always very renounced. So in this way, Raghunath Das Goswami lived in this spirit of devotion, faith, at the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and increased renunciation for over 16 years. And he was serving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu departed from this world, his assistant, Swarup Damodar Goswami, also departed. And why did he depart immediately after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? What is the reason? What is the reason why Swarup Damodar Goswami left this planet immediately after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?
He was serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
What is that?
To serve
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in another planet, yes. What else?
He cannot bear the separation from his master.
Wonderful, yes. Swarup Damodar Goswami could not bear the separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now look at Raghunath Das Goswami. He lost both his masters. He lost Swarup Damodar Goswami and he lost Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Raghunath Das Goswami prepared himself mentally to go to Vrindavan and jump from the topmost peak of Govardhan Hill and commit suicide. Don't take this principle very deeply in your lives. It's just an expression of his love that he couldn't live without Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Raghunath Das Goswami went to Vrindavan, all set to jump from Govardhan Hill. Just climb up the top of Govardhan Hill and jump from there and commit suicide. So there he met two Goswamis. Out of the six Goswamis, he met Rupa Goswami and his older brother Sanatan Goswami. So he met Rupa and Sanatan, and he said, and he looked at both of them, and he was touched by their devotion, because he could see that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was still there, alive, through their mood, through their service. Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami, they were actually, they were so touched by the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they were practicing. They were excavating lost places in Vrindavan. They were writing books. They were opening temples. And they were preaching and inspiring Vaishnavas. What are the four things that Rupa and Sanatan were doing? First, writing books about Vaishnav culture. Second, opening temples in Vrindavan, over 5,000 temples. Third,
preaching
and teaching Vaishnav culture to the devotees. And fourth, excavating lost holy places and renovating them. So Raghunath Das Goswami got some association, and Rupa and Sanatan said, you shouldn't commit suicide. This is not a very Vaishnav thing to do. Instead, what you should do is you should stay here in Vrindavan and every day speak about your interactions with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You served Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for how many years? 16 years in Jagannath Puri. Therefore, you must give katha, lectures every day. And you share with us, and we will share the nectar with you. Raghunath Das Goswami was, it is described that it was as if the soul re-entered his body. He got some hope. And he was given residence in the most holiest place in the whole of creation, which is Sri Radha Kund. Sri Radha Kund and Sham Kund are the divine ponds of love. Radha Kund is a pond. It's filled with water externally, but it is actually the bathing place of Srimati Radharani. And Sham Kund is the eternal place of Sri Krishna. There are different stories about how they were formed, which could be the discussion of our, with the topic of our discussion sometime later. But of all the holy places, in the material and in the spiritual world, Radha Kund is considered to be the topmost. Of all the places, Vaikuntha is considered to be topmost. Even greater than Vaikuntha is Mathura in this world. Because that Vaikuntha in the spiritual world always sees the Supreme with how many hands? Four hands. But in Mathura, the Supreme Lord advented in how many hands?
Two.
Two hands. But he was born in Mathura, but he spent most of his time in Vrindavan. So therefore, Mathura is superior to Vaikuntha, but Vrindavan is superior to Mathura, because Krishna was always in Vrindavan. Now in Vrindavan also, during the daytime, along with his cows, calves and friends, he used to go to the hill called Govardhan. So therefore, Govardhan hill is superior. Also for the fact that it was personally touched by the finger, the little finger of the left hand of Sri Krishna. But of all these places, the supreme most abode of pure love and devotion is Sri Radhakund. So therefore devotees, when they go to Vrindavan for parikrama, they go to Radhakund, they perform parikrama, or they circumambulate Radhakund and Shyamkund. Devotees sip the holy water. Some devotees even bathe in Radhakund. So Raghunath Das Goswami was given residence in Radhakund by the mercy of Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. And how would he live there? Just like one devotee was explaining yesterday, his practice of sadhana, of regulated devotion in Radhakund was like lines marked in stone. Very fixed up, very determined. He used to bathe in the waters of Radhakund thrice every day. He chanted over 100,000 names of Krishna, 200,000 names of Krishna elsewhere, it's described. And he used to offer 1,000 obeisances, prostrated obeisances to Krishna every single day at the age of 50 and 60 and 70. And 1,000 to Krishna and 2,000 to the Vaishnavas every day. Very austere. And 22 and a half hours every day he used to chant the holy names. And this used to include a 3-hour class on the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu every single day. He spoke about how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced in Puri, how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate in Puri, how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached in Puri. And he would shock, he would be ecstatic speaking about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as we described yesterday, in that discussion, one among the audience was a very exalted personality by the name Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And who is this Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami? He's the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is like an ocean of nectar. Chaitanya means Sri Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Charita means character, and Amrita means nectar. So Chaitanya Charitamrita. So nectarian life, teachings, precepts, pastimes of Sri Chaitanya. So in this way, Raghunath Das Goswami used to live in Radhakund. One very interesting story about how austere he was in his eating habits. Now we covered in Puri how austere he was. Now once he came to Radhakund, he stopped eating completely. No eating, no sleeping, no drinking, nothing. Just crying and chanting all day long, loudly, the names of Sri Krishna. He would just pick up his beads and keep crying and crying and crying. And it is described elsewhere that he chanted for 22 hours a day, but could chant only 100,000 names of Krishna. The reason is, he spent a lot of time just crying in separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was burning in the fire of separation from Krishna. He wanted to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again. So how how devoted he was. And he was just crying, chanting Krishna's holy names. So he forgot to eat and sleep. And some devotees said, well, Raghunath Das Goswami, you have to eat something, you have to drink something. So just to keep the Vaishnavas happy, he agreed to drink little buttermilk once in 3 days. He used to sip some buttermilk once in 3 days. We sip some buttermilk 3 times a day. And how he drank that buttermilk? He had a leaf and he used to make a cup from that leaf. And however big that cup was, only that much he would have once in 3 days. But he was so devoted to Srimati Radharani. He was so lovingly devoted to Srimati Radharani that one day he got to know that the cup that he is making to drink his buttermilk from is made from a leaf which comes from a tree, which is from a village, which belongs to a gopi who's on the opposite team of Srimati Radharani, who's not on the same team, who's the opposite team. When he got to know that he's drinking buttermilk from a cup made from the leaf which comes from a tree from the village of a sakhi who's in the opposite camp, he gave it up. He gave it up. Interestingly, one day he fell ill. So the doctor was called, and the doctor checked his pulse, and he said, too much eating of sweet rice. The devotees were shocked. Is he offensive? Raghunath Das Goswami Pad, he used to have buttermilk, and he has just given that up. And this doctor comes and he says that too much of eating, and that to sweet rice, so opulent foodstuff for a renunciant, impossible. So Raghunath Das Goswami smiled and he said, yes, I overate buttermilk, sweet rice, I'm sorry. So the devotees were like, sweet rice? Who makes sweet rice here? And Raghunath Das Goswami revealed that one day I was chanting the holy name so deeply and I was crying that I actually saw Srimati Radharani, and she had cooked fresh sweet rice, and she got it in a big pot and she gave it to me in my meditation, and she said, oh Raghunath, you're chanting the holy name with so much of love and devotion and you're not having anything. Look, I have prepared this special preparation for you. Would you like to taste? And Raghunath Das Goswami, he put his hand and he tasted little, but it was so nectarian, cooked by the lotus palms of Srimati Radharani, that he emptied the whole pot in love. And then he told the doctor, yes, this happened in my meditation when I was chanting the holy name. But this is the power of involving our mind. Yes.
Did he share that sweet rice with someone? Did he share it with somebody?
He was in meditation.
No. He just emptied the whole pot.
I thought somebody came by and asked where he found.
That is a different story.
Is it? Okay,
yes.
Right.
Yes, that's the story between Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami.
Yeah.
Similar story, the sweet rice. So Raghunath Das Goswami emptied the whole pot, and then he told the Vaishnavas and the doctor, yes, because Srimati Radharani's cooking is so nectarian, and it's like ambrosial nectar. So I just got addicted and I emptied the whole pot. So then the doctor externally gave some medicines, and Raghunath Das Goswami took those medicines and served the Vaishnavas. And he recovered simply by chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This is not how he chanted. He chanted with enthusiasm. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. In another book called as Bhakti Ratnakar by Narahari Thakur, it is described that one day Raghunath Das Goswami was sitting on the banks of Radhakund and he was chanting japa. And he was so absorbed in his chanting that he was oblivious to everything happening around. Sanatan Goswami was walking towards Radhakund and he saw Raghunath Das Goswami sitting on the banks of Radhakund, and there's a tiger sipping water sitting next to Raghunath Das Goswami. It was sipping water from Radhakund just at one hand distance from Raghunath Das Goswami. And Raghunath Das Goswami with his eyes shut was just chanting the holy names. And Sanatan Goswami, he looked carefully, and behind a pillar he saw Krishna waiting with his bow and arrow just to protect Raghunath Das Goswami. Because Raghunath Das Goswami was chanting the holy names and he didn't know what's happening around. So Krishna actually stood there as a protector, as a guardian, just in case if the tiger jumps. So I am here to protect. So Sanatan Goswami came and he told Raghunath Das Goswami, what are you doing? The aim of all our services and our bhajan is to serve Radha and Krishna. But you are taking service from Krishna. Instead of serving Krishna, he is serving you. You are chanting the holy name, closing your eyes. And I saw Shyam Sundar Shri Krishna standing behind that pillar just to protect you. Didn't you realize that there was a tiger sipping water just next to you? Raghunath Das Goswami smiled and he said, the chanting of the holy names is so sweet that once you dive deep into this nectar, you don't realize anything else. But the problem for those who don't have that taste is that the chanting of the holy names seem very bitter on the tongue. Srila Prabhupada explained that when somebody is down with jaundice, even when you drink some sugarcane juice or some sugar candy, it tastes very bitter. Not because it is bitter, but because we are diseased. But as soon as we recover, the same sugarcane juice tastes very sweet. So because now we are down with this disease of material existence, the disease of sense gratification, therefore even the sweet name of Sri Krishna is completely distasteful and bitter. Therefore we have no taste for chanting. But the process to get out of jaundice is to drink sugarcane juice, although it is bitter. By drinking sugarcane juice, every single day, slowly but surely, you recover. So similarly, even if we don't have taste for Krishna's holy names in the beginning, we must take these names with faith and devotion every single day, and soon the jaundice of material existence will go off, and the sweet taste of the holy name will rise on the tongue. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. At another instance, it was very hot in Radhakund, and Raghunath Das Goswami Pad was sitting and chanting the holy names, and he was sweating. And again, Sanatan Goswami was walking towards Radhakund, and this time he saw Srimati Radharani. She was standing and protecting and covering the head of Raghunath Das Goswami with her own sari. She was giving cool shade to Raghunath Das Goswami while he was chanting, while she herself was sweating, perspiring in the heat. Sanatan Goswami saw this. He said, this is ridiculous. He went to Raghunath Das Goswami and he said, what are you doing? The aim of our bhajan is to serve. You're taking service from Krishna the other day, and today I saw Srimati Radharani. She's leaving all her pastimes and coming just to give you protection. This is not fair. Therefore, you must make a bhajan kutir for yourself. Like a small place, a shed, a cool place where you sit and chant the holy names. Then from then on, all the saints started making their bhajan kutir. But Raghunath Das Goswami initially wasn't like that. Just sitting wherever he was and chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So now after he got this instruction of making this bhajan kutir, along with his different servants and assistants, they started digging. You know, they started digging a place for his bhajan kutir. Sorry? Pillars and different... you know, they had to make the most appropriate place. So they made the bhajan kutir. But Raghunath Das Goswami was very disappointed to see that people were coming and washing their vessels and clothes in the water of Radhakund. He said, this is not a place for, you know, washing your stuffs. This is a place of divine nectar. You should have another place where you wash these things. So they said, well, we don't have anything else. So Raghunath Das Goswami instructed his followers, make a well, dig a well, and then that water can be used for washing, while the waters of Radhakund can be kept pure. Now as they were digging this well, one of his servants accidentally hit a rock, a stone, and that stone started bleeding. The stone started bleeding. So they came and told Raghunath Das Goswami that the stone is bleeding, what to do? Raghunath Das Goswami said, stop all your work. That night in the dream, Krishna appeared to Raghunath Das Goswami. And he said, the rocks of Govardhan Hill are non-different from my body. And the rock that you hit was actually the tongue of Govardhan. So therefore, now what you have to do is, tomorrow, you have to install that rock and make a nice temple. And you should call it the tongue of Govardhan. So even now when you go to Radhakund, there is a temple called as Jivha Mandir. Jivha in Sanskrit means the tongue. So it's a very nice Govardhan Shila, and that has the tongue of K. Kiriraj. And it is said anyone who circumambulates that small temple 7 times gets the benefit of doing the long 6-hour, 22-kilometer parikram of Govardhan Hill.
What do you do? What do you have to do?
You just have to circumambulate that Jivha Mandir, the tongue of Govardhan, 7 times. Then you get the... Yes, Govardhan Shila.
So I did 4 times. So I had to do the Shila 7 times or the temple 7 times?
The Shila is in the altar of the temple.
Yeah.
And it's a small place. So you have to circumambulate the temple.
So you have to not just the Shila, but the temple.
You are
the
Shila.
When you circumambulate the temple, the Shila is in the temple.
Right, so. I understand that. But what I did was 4 times.
So you have to go back.
Why is that the
So you have to go back to Vrindavan and you will take all of us to Vrindavan. So when you go to Radhakund, all of us, those who have been to Radhakund can go again, and those who haven't been to Radhakund, please pray to Srimati Radharani that she arranges a trip to Vrindavan where you go to Radhakund and physically see these two ponds of Radhakund and Shyamkund, and then you see the tongue of Govardhan, the Jivha, and you remember, well, there was somebody who was speaking about this story of how it hit the rock and it started bleeding. Well, I'm actually seeing that rock face to face. So in this way, the tongue was installed. Even making the Radhakund and Shyamkund, the excavating and the renovation of Radhakund and Shyamkund, the ponds, they were done by Raghunath Das Goswami. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his ecstasy when he landed in Vrindavan, he found these two small ponds, really small, very small. You call it a pukur in Braj Bhasha. Really small, not even a pond. It was in the middle of a paddy field. So in divine ecstasy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discovered, and he said, this is Radhakund and this is Shyamkund, because they were lost with time. But now Raghunath Das Goswami took it as his responsibility to nicely renovate it. But he needed money for it. Now where would a renunciant go for money? He said, this is too much of work. I think if I get into all of that, I will lose my time in the chanting of the holy names. Parallelly, there was a very rich merchant who went to Badrikashram, which is north of India. And he wanted to donate a lot of money. But Badri Vishal, the deity, appeared before the merchant in his dream and said, if you want to donate a lot of money, don't give here. Instead, go to Vrindavan. In Radhakund, there is a great devotee by the name Raghunath Das Goswami, and he is desirous of money because he wants to excavate and renovate this place. Therefore, go and donate all your property there. So this devotee came. So by the desire of Raghunath Das Goswami and by the desire of this devotee, he got all the money, and nice square shaped renovation was done for Radhakund with nice steps. But while making Shyamakund, Raghunath Das Goswami, he was trying to cut different trees so that he can make the proper shape. And in his dream, Yudhishthir Maharaj from the Mahabharata, the Pandavas, he appeared. And he said, oh Raghunath Das Goswami, please don't cut us. We 5 brothers, we are staying as the 5 trees on the banks of Shyamkund. In the form of trees, we are chanting the holy names and witnessing the beauty of this place. So even if you want to make a beautiful border for Shyamkund, don't cut us. Let us survive in Shyamkund and do our bhajan. So Raghunath Das Goswami agreed. Therefore, if you see, the shape of Radhakund is square, but the shape of Shyamkund is a little oblong. It's not a regular shape because he had to go around an irregular path.
The tree's still there?
The trees still exist, yes.
Wow.
You can go there. They are eternal trees. These trees, even now when you go for parikram, hopefully we can go sometime. We can see how the Arjuna tree, the Bhima tree, the Yudhishthira tree, the 5 Pandavas, they actually even now do their bhajan. They chant the holy names on the banks of Shyamkund and Radhakund. In fact, in the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada, in the last verse, he says, in the Nectar of Instruction, please pardon me, says that to perform one's devotional service on the banks of Radhakund is the highest perfection of devotional service. But however, we all cannot run and leave our responsibilities and families and leave Boston and run and go and stay in Radhakund. Because if we do that, who would preach here in Boston? So we can go once a year and recharge our spiritual batteries and come back, rejuvenated in our services. So in this way, there were many beautiful pastimes in Radhakund. So in this mode, Raghunath Das goes, yes, Prabhu.
Since you were talking about Radhakund,
uh-huh.
We are doing service, not the same.
So Srila Prabhupada, in one purport, he explains that anywhere where we are performing service is like Vrindavan. So when Srila Prabhupada's disciple Ayendra Prabhu was speaking on this, he said, my spiritual master very intelligently, he said, it is like Vrindavan. He didn't say it is Vrindavan. So however the mood is,
what about as good as? You always hear as good as.
Yes. So, in the aspect of Mathura Vas, or the aspect of the Dham, there are three levels of the Dham. Or in fact, in the spiritual sense, there are five levels, but at least three levels for sure. The best is the Dham itself, the pastime places of Krishna. Now, if we are not able to stay there, we can come to the local temple, because Radha Gopi Vallabha is also here. And wherever Radha and Krishna, Radha Gopi Vallabha are there, that is also Vrindavan, because they never leave Vrindavan. So this is as good as Vrindavan. That's another understanding. The third understanding is, if we are not able to come to the temple, we install deities at our place, and we serve them with nice love and devotion. And wherever Nitai Gaura Chandra or Radha Krishna are manifest, that is Vrindavan. And in the lives of great souls, they carry Krishna in their heart. So Vrindavan is their heart. We go to Vrindavan and we carry ourselves to Vrindavan. But the great souls carry Vrindavan everywhere. It is said Srila Prabhupada left Vrindavan to come here and give Vrindavan to the whole world. So in that way, if we are pure enough, we can give Vrindavan to others. But if you are not pure, as much as possible, we must go and perform our devotional service in the holy land of Vrindavan and Mayapur. And we have to also see the practical, the feasibility. If it is possible, if you are staying in Delhi or something like that, then we can go every weekend and spend our time. But if you are staying in Boston, it's not practical to go, you know, every month or once in 6 months. But at least we must try once a year to go to holy places like Vrindavan, Mayapur, Jagannath Puri, and meet the Vaishnavas there, hear the pastimes there, chant more rounds, and take a break from our routine materialistic life. And go there for like 15 days or 1 month, especially in the month of Kartik if possible, because Kartik is the most auspicious month and Vrindavan is the most auspicious place, then our life also becomes most auspicious. So we must try as much as possible. And then come back, and we anyway have to plunge into our activities. So at least we get that boost in spiritual practice. Now in this way, Raghunath Das Goswami lived for 45 years in Vrindavan, hardly eating anything, hardly wearing anything. He just had a kopan, he had a chador, and in winter some torn quilt, nothing else. And in this way, he was crying in separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is described after Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami also left this planet, Raghunath Das Goswami was all by himself. And that is the time when the nephew Jiva Goswami, he became the leader. And Jiva Goswami used to come all the way to Radhakund only to have the darshan of Raghunath Das Goswami. There were Vaishnavas who considered the darshan or just the glance of Raghunath Das Goswami to be more auspicious than even visiting Radhakund. Like the three devotee friends, Shyamananda Prabhu, Narottam Das Thakur, and Srinivas Acharya, they came to Radhakund all the way just to take the blessings of Raghunath Das Goswami. And Nityananda Prabhu's consort, what was her name? Janava Devi. Nityananda Prabhu has two consorts. What are their names? Vasudha and Janava. So Janava Devi, she came all the way from Kardaha to Radhakund. When she got to know the spirit of Raghunath Das Goswami, she said, I am more happy to see Raghunath Das Goswami than I am to take darshan of Radhakund and Shyamakund. So in this way it is described very nicely.
When you say concept, what does it mean?
So when you say, the eternal concept means in the material sense like a wife. But the concept actually means the internal energy. In this world, as we were discussing the other day, in this world, wife or husband is like a very material concept because you depend on another soul to come together and practice your livelihood or your devotion. But for the Supreme Lord, His internal potency, pleasure-giving potency from within, manifests externally as His wife or as His eternal consort. Another last story to end our discussion. Rupa Goswami had written a book by the name Lalit Madhava. And in that book, he described the separation that Srimati Radharani felt when Krishna left Vrindavan. And when Raghunath Das Goswami read that book, he was crying like a calf would cry when being separated from her mother. And he was just holding the book close to his chest and crying, and his tears were bathing the pages of that book. And the devotees, they felt really afraid. They said, they felt Raghunath Das Goswami might even leave his body, give up his body, because he was crying so desperately, so helplessly. So they ran to Rupa Goswami and they said, oh Rupa Goswami, you have to write another book to pacify Raghunath. Because he's just crying pitiably. He's crying, seeing the separation of Radharani from Krishna. Then Rupa Goswami wrote another book called as Daan Keli Kaumudi, where he speaks about the meeting of Radha and Krishna. And when Raghunath Das Goswami heard that, he was completely pacified. It is described as if rain clouds of ecstasy poured over the forest fire of separation. Look how poetic it is, isn't it? The rain clouds of ecstasy poured down nectar over the forest fire of separation. So in this way, these three personalities, Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami, and Raghunath Das Goswami, they represent three principles on our path of bhakti. Sanatan Goswami represents something called as Sambandha Jnana, which means he, through his principles, he established how we can get this proper established connection with the Lord, or Sambandha. Sanatan Goswami gave Sambandha, and the deity that he established for Sambandha is Radha Madan Mohan. His younger brother Rupa Goswami, he taught the next principle. Now, once you're having a relation with Krishna, you act on that relationship. You first realize the relationship, then you act on that relationship. You practice the principles of bhakti. So that is called as abhideya. What is that called as? Abhideya. So sambandha is relationship with the Lord. Abhideya is acting on that relationship. The principles given by Rupa Goswami, and the deities he established were Radha Govinda. And Raghunath Das Goswami, he personified the perfection of that path, that is pure ecstatic love, which is called as Prayojan. So Sambandha, given by Sanatan Goswami, which means establishing a connection with Krishna. Abhideya explains practicing or walking on that path of bhakti, given by Rupa Goswami, and the deity is Radha Govinda. And Raghunath Das Goswami, he gives something called as Prayojan, or the fulfillment, the perfection of that path, which is pure ecstatic love. So Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojan, and the gurus respectively are Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami, and Raghunath Das Goswami. Yes, Prabhu.
I know you explained what they refer to, but let's, I always can
can remember a word or a concept when you actually break it down into its actual etymology, actual word translation. So sambandh, what does, do you know sambandh, abhideya, what does it like literally translate as?
So sambandha, sam means the total, just like we say samkirtan, right?
Yeah.
The sum total. And bandha means actually binding, bandhan or binding,
bonding,
right? You bind, you get bound. So sambandha means totally being bound in a relationship, right? Then you have the word abhideya, which literally means to walk the path. So abhideya means to actually practice the path of devotion. And prayojan, yojana means a plan, yojan or the goal, and prayojan means a special goal, which is pure love. So sambandha means completely bound to Krishna in a relationship, abhideya is practicing or acting on that relationship, and prayojana is fulfillment on that relationship of pure ecstatic love. Finally, before we wrap up, I would like to discuss three short verses composed by Raghunath Das Goswami. The first is in the praise of Rupa Goswami. Adadana strinam dantair idam yache punapuna Srimad Rupa padam bojam dhulisyam janma janmani. Raghunath Das Goswami writes, Adadana trinam dantair idam yache punapuna. Keeping a blade of grass clasped between my teeth, I ask for only one thing again and again. Shri Rupa Padam Bhojam Dhulisyam Janma Janmani. When will I get the dust of the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami? So Raghunath Das Goswami is pleading for the dust of the lotus feet of Rupa Goswami. The second and the third verses are in the glorification of Srimati Radharani. The second verse is Gaura Rakta Vararamyam Sunetram Susmitananam Shyama Swabhishta Sadika Radhika Ashraye Sada. Gaura Rakta Vararamyam. Radharani is so beautiful and golden complexion that when she wears red dress, she looks very attractive. Rakta Vara. Sunetram Susmitananam. Her eyes are like the blossoming lotus flowers. Very big, very attractive. And she has a wide smile. Shyama Swabhishta Sadhika. She's such a fixed up devotee that she practices the principles of bhakti with determination. And to that Radharani, Radhika Ashraye Sada, I take shelter. And finally this verse, please repeat after me. Tavai Vasmi, Tavai Vasmi. Na Jivami Tvai Vina. Iti vijnaya devi tvam nae mam charanantikam. What does this mean? Tava eva asmi, tava eva asmi. O Radharani, I belong to you, I belong to you. Na jivami tvaya vina, I cannot live without you. Iti vijnaya devi tvam. O Srimati Radharani, please understand the feeling in my heart. And nae mam charanantikam. Please give me the place at your lotus feet. So in this way, these were the beautiful compositions of Raghunath Das Goswami. And we are very grateful to Srila Prabhupada, who walked into the Western lands and filled us in English, in the English language, all the treasure which was given by the six Goswamis in Sanskrit and in Bengali. All the principles of Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojan, which were given by Sanatan, Rupa and Raghunath, for us, were actually given by Srila Prabhupada. So we are very grateful to Srila Prabhupada and all the acharyas who represent this principle of the six Goswamis. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami Padiki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrindaki, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari.